The plot in book, audio, and a version for kids. The overview of the Bible is the key to its details. Get the plot at our store at kgov.com.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardley.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yardley Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we're going to talk about the Me Too movement and how it's affected a Christian conservative, Paige Patterson, who's now out of his job with the Southern Baptist. Also, a Plan B abortion pill comment that Rush Limbaugh made today. Very important. And we'll listen in to the audio from Monday's MTV Awards ceremony. A megastar actor, Chris Pratt, he's from the Jurassic World films and others, he's just made some amazing comments there. This is not your grandma's MTV award ceremony. So we'll get to that. Oh, and by the way, the Jurassic World films, they have acknowledged in the films, in the plot, in the promos for the films, the dinosaur soft tissue that we promote. I don't know if you've seen these films, but they mention that in the past they had to get dinosaur blood from mosquitoes in amber. And now they say, we don't need the mosquitoes anymore. We have dinosaur soft tissue. We get it right out of the dinosaur bones. So that is art imitating reality and really exciting because dinosaur soft tissue, the fact that there are soft, undecomposed blood vessels that grew inside hadrosaurs and inside of Tyrannosaurus rex dinosaurs, it is the creationist's best friend. When they lose the dinosaurs, they lose it all. And this is why the media has been silent on the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology. But I'm getting sidetracked. I want to talk about the Me Too movement bringing down a leader among men, the Southern Baptist Christian powerhouse, Paige Patterson, and the incredible value of the Me Too movement and the unprecedented opportunity it presents to Christians to reassert biblical morality as the only safeguard against widespread sexual injustice. Okay, so that's what we want to do. And maybe first, Rush Limbaugh's comment. Just in passing today, he referred to the Plan B morning after pill as the Plan B abortion kit. And that's so important because so many people don't realize that the purpose of this so-called Plan B pill is that if a child has been conceived, then that child will experience a spontaneous abortion because it changes the uterine wall to make it hostile so that little tiny boy or girl at a single cell, at the moment of fertilization, at the moment of conception, there is an explosion of life. In fact, it's even been photographed. If you've not seen it, you'll want to see it. Look at the article I've had the honor of writing for American Right to Life on the very beginning of biological life. You can find it at AmericanRTL.org/beginning. And you'll see the zinc spark. It's astounding signature of activity. In fact, it's a video, a short video, of what happens physically at the moment of conception. It's absolutely astounding. So when Rush mentions the Plan B pill and he calls it the Plan B abortion kit, that's so very important because it's teaching people that this chemical abortifacient is designed just in case a child has been conceived to kill that child by preventing him or preventing her from implanting in his mother's womb. So at that first cell, there's either two X chromosomes or an X and a Y, so it's either a boy or a girl. By the way, the teacher in Indianapolis who has been forced to resign, I'm not quite sure I understand that description, forced to resign, because he refused to refer to boys in his classrooms as girls. We have talked to him, and he's interested in coming on the show, and he's interested in coming on Bob Benyart Live. His attorneys have said they want to talk about it first because he may have legal action. So we'll let you know if that interview is going to be scheduled. Rush also pointed out the fact that these unaccompanied minors who are coming up from Mexico or even further down south, some country in Central America, that the girls are being provided with the Plan B abortion kit pill, Plan B. And why would that be? Well, we know that so many of the young girls who are coming up without their parents, so many of them are raped on the trip, possibly even by the smugglers who charge their parents exorbitant amounts of money and who are partly responsible for the horrific human rights abuses that happen along the way. And so these girls are provided with Plan B pills in case they're raped. Then the parents and the smugglers will tell them, take this pill afterward to make sure you don't complicate our lives by becoming pregnant. So just horrific. And Rush also mentioned the separating of children from their parents, which happens all the time in this country. Happened to me. I've spent 6 months in jail for trying to protect unborn children, peacefully, of course, and also for asserting Christian rights as a father and parents over their children. I've spent 6 months in jail, and guess what? I was separated from my kids. That's sort of normal. When you commit a crime, you end up being separated from your kids. But Rush pointed this out, that there are parents who put their children, sometimes rather young children, on trains to send them one or two countries away without any kind of parental or adult accompaniment. And if American parents had done this to their children, they would probably be charged with child neglect, child abandonment, child abuse even, and of course they'd have their children taken away from them. Just imagine if you put your kids on a train to Chicago and you weren't going with them, young kids, and they get there, now they're in Chicago. And you think the government's not going to separate those kids from the parents even further than taking away those kids? So this whole thing, of course, is a scam, and the media is apoplectic about it because they see it as an opportunity to gin this whole thing up so that their base will be motivated to defeat the Republicans in November. That's all this is. When the Obama administration was doing the same thing, and some of the photos out that were taken during the Obama administration with boys in the girls only areas and men in the women's only areas and all kinds of really disturbing pictures that were exposed at the time that the media really didn't care about because it was the Obama administration. And this is one of the pitfalls of democracy. It gets people to surrender their loyalties so that they're no longer loyal to God. And I'm talking about Christians here. They're no longer loyal to the truth, but they're loyal to their partisan side. And so what they end up defending is whatever their candidate, their leader, their guy does. And boy, is that a slippery slope. In fact, there's no bottom to that abyss. So that was Rush today. Good for him. There is not evidence that Rush Limbaugh loves the Lord. In fact, the evidence is the opposite. His brother, David Limbaugh, has presented plenty of evidence that he's a believer. And so when you don't know if somebody's a believer and you love them, you care about them, it's good to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're not a Christian Because if you assume that they are and you're wrong, then they could end up going to hell without any intervention or warning from you because you just assumed the wrong way. Okay, now we want to go to the audio. We're going to listen in to Monday's MTV Awards ceremony. This is not your grandma's MTV Awards ceremony. This is just different. So let's tune in to megastar Chris Pratt. We'll hear most of what he said, and then we'll chat about it.
This being the Generation Award, I'm gonna cut to the chase, and I'm going to speak to you, the next generation, okay? I accept the responsibility as your elder, so listen up. This is what I call 9 rules from Chris Pratt, Generation Award winner. Number 1, breathe. If you don't, you'll suffocate. Number 2, you have a soul. Be careful with it. Number 3, if you're strong, be a protector, and if you're smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons, and do not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that. Number 4, when giving a dog medicine, put the medicine in a little piece of hamburger, they won't even know they're eating medicine. Number 5, doesn't matter what it is, earn it. A good deed, reach out to someone in pain, be of service, it feels good and it's good for your soul. Number 6, God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do. Number 8, learn to pray. It's easy and it's so good for your soul. And finally, number 9, nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're perfect just the way you are. You're not. You are imperfect. You always will be, but there is a powerful force that designed you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you will have grace. And grace is a gift. And like the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for with somebody else's blood. Do not forget it. Don't take it for granted. God bless you. Please get home safely. Thank you.
Wow, like the freedom we enjoy in this country, this was paid for by somebody else's blood, an obvious reference to Jesus Christ. Also, there seemed to be an indirect statement against abortion when he said, do not wield your strength and intelligence against the weak. Most likely, he was referring to the women's movement, the marches that are radically celebrating the dismembering of innocent children in the womb. So, wow, Chris Pratt. Now, I didn't know this guy's name until this hit the news this week. I had seen the first Jurassic Park film, haven't seen the second yet. And he's in other films that are crude. Now, he's in the Avengers series, right? I'm looking at my producer who's younger. He's in the Avengers film, and then he's in his own superhero series that's a lot more vulgar than these other films. So when you have a Christian who has the courage to speak out publicly about the Lord, about God, that we have a soul, you have to take care of your soul, you should pray. It's easy to do. It's good for your soul. All that, that's wonderful. But that doesn't mean then that we affirm everything that he has done in his life and that we give people a false sense of security that you won't harm your kids if you bring them to see some of these vulgar films because the actor is a Christian. So we have to be wise, of course, in how we consume Hollywood's entertainment. I've mentioned in the past, I think it was on a United flight, or maybe it was Frontier. They have their own magazine that they change every quarter or so and has interviews with interesting people to keep you busy and occupied while you're flying so you don't get in a fight with a person across the aisle from you. And there is this article about this celebrity, this actress, who they start out on the first page. There's her photo, the headline, and here's the strong Christian Hollywood actress. That's in the lead. She's a strong Christian. And I know, and I say to myself, this article is going to be despicable because there is no way that they would promote that this woman is a strong Christian if that was the point. So you turn the page, and it turns out that she's starring in some sexually degrading film, and she's doing it even though she's a Christian. So the only good Christian to the culture is a bad Christian, like Barack Obama. Bill Clinton used to carry a 5-pound Bible to church. The media never criticized him. If George W. Bush carried a Bible to church, they would have been mocking him till the cows come home. If Donald Trump carried a Bible to church, but since Bill Clinton carried a Bible to church, the only good Christian is a bad Christian. They knew he's a bad Christian. That's his persona. That's how he actually presents himself. You know, when you just read between the lines a little bit, then they're all for him. They're all for him because the only good Christian is a bad Christian. So that explains the editors and the writers for this airline magazine. And now back to Chris Pratt. I'm so thankful for what he shared. And boy, did these young people need to hear that. So praise God. And I pray that his words have an effect in the hearts and minds of the millions now who have heard those things. There is a God. God is real. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I believe that. You have a soul. Take care of it. Learn to pray. It's good for your soul. You're not perfect. You know, the left, they say that human beings are basically good. And Chris Pratt is letting them know, including all the young people there in the audience in person, that you're not basically good. You're not perfect. You're all messed up. And by the way, the freedom we have in this country that was paid for by the blood of others, well, the opportunity we have to be right with God, that too was paid for by somebody else's blood, which is a clear reference to Jesus Christ's death on the cross, his crucifixion, and his death and resurrection. So thank you, Chris Pratt. Awesome. I pray that God continues to work in your life. Now, Paige Patterson, he was fired from Southwestern Baptist Seminary, and he has had a history. He was one of the key leaders who turned the Southern Baptist away from the sexual immorality and child killing that they were headed toward embracing as an organization. A few decades ago, they were going in that direction. Paige Patterson was one of the key people to turn them away from that utter destruction. You see, once the Baptists began voting on things like homosexuality, things like fornication, things like killing unborn children, once they started voting on those things, you can be assured that eventually they'll embrace those things. When they stand before God and God asked the leaders of the Southern Baptist, where did you get the idea that it would be okay to vote on my law? Do not murder. Do not commit sexual immorality. Where did you get the idea that it would be okay to vote on my law? How are they going to answer that? It's inane. It is inane. Now, for those Christians who were there and who knew that abortion was wrong and homosexuality is perverse and dishonors God and destroys individuals, and so they voted against abortion and against homosexuality, they're not sinning by doing that. Of course not. But for those who decided that we are going to vote on God's law, for those who decided that, they were sinning at that time. So at Denver Bible Church, I pastor Denver Bible Church. Every Sunday morning, 9:30, we have our Sunday school verse-by-verse study through the books of the Bible. Right now, we're in Leviticus chapter 22. It's just so incredibly interesting, exhilarating, fascinating what we learn about the Lord in the world we live in, human history, ourselves, what God wants from us. It's all stunning. It's all phenomenal. And how to answer the skeptics and all. It's all tremendous. So what if next Sunday, maybe we do it during the service because there are more people there than at Sunday school. What if we say we're going to vote on do not commit adultery? We're going to have a vote on that and see if our church is going to continue to teach against adultery, that adultery is harmful. What if we were to do that? Would God be pleased with Denver Bible Church voting on do not commit adultery to see if we're going to continue to put up with it? Of course, that would be dishonoring to God. The church is not a democracy. Authority doesn't flow uphill from the people to God. It doesn't work that way. Authority flows downhill from God through the government to people, from parents to their children, and even the kid can kick the cat off the couch. Authority doesn't flow uphill. Churches should not be democracies. Jesus said that the majority are evil. Even in his time, the religious leaders, the majority were evil. In Jesus' time, the majority, the jury of your peers, they shouted, "Crucify him." It was the minority who wanted to obey Jesus Christ. So this humanist notion of democracy and its kissing cousin, a representative republic, they're just catastrophes. And they're a catastrophe in the church. But at any rate, the Southern Baptists were going this worldly direction, and Paige Patterson was one of those who turned it aright, back on track, to oppose the sexual perversion, immorality, the killing of unborn children. And so good for him. Then he becomes the president of one of their Baptist seminaries, Eastern. Then he's the president of Southwestern Baptist Seminary. And one of our longtime listeners from Texas has had significant interactions with Paige Patterson. In fact, years ago, they're friends, and they'd be talking while soaking in a hot tub together. And so over the years, this longtime listener, his name is Tom Healy, and I'll tell you one thing about Tom, his career. He's now a retired rancher, but he's been in law enforcement. He was part of the paramilitary force that we would send to protect our nuclear weapons as they're being transported around the country. So Tom Healy is an American hero. So over the years, he would urge Paige Patterson to reconsider some of the things he taught, some of the things he believed, and Tom would point him to the Bobinert Live radio shows and articles, including about forgiveness and the biblical perspective that we bring to the air and to the internet at kgov.com, a perspective that's mostly rejected by mainstream evangelical Christianity. And that includes our warnings against the nicer-than-God, cliche-ridden teachings of the church, including the unbiblical teaching that you must forgive everyone. Of course, Jesus taught that if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And then, if he repents, then forgive him. That's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 3. And there are many examples of this in the scriptures. There is not, generally speaking, there is not automatic forgiveness, because that makes repentance superfluous. And God doesn't automatically forgive the world. God requires individuals to repent and turn toward him for forgiveness. So the Lord's teaching has been perverted into the progressive view that repentance is irrelevant. You just automatically forgive criminals, gang members, extremists, illegal aliens, and so on, whoever the sinner du jour is. And in Paige Patterson's view, you automatically forgive the rapist. How tragic. And this happened on the college campus, a Baptist seminary where he's in charge. With a rapist, you arrest suspected rapist. If there's the evidence to prosecute, you prosecute them. If you can, you get them convicted. And whether or not they repent, that is a secondary matter to society. To them personally, it's a primary matter. Because if they don't turn toward Jesus Christ, at some point in their lives, they're going to hell. But God did not make that society's number one responsibility to see that a rapist is saved. Our number one responsibility is to protect the innocent, to protect young women. And then if someone commits such a heinous crime, to bring them to justice, that is society's number one responsibility. And then on our time off, so to speak, we share the gospel with everyone we can, even with such a criminal. We share the gospel with them. But that is not your number one responsibility. If you're in a park and some gang members are trying to kill some kid, your number one responsibility is not to quote John 3:16. If you can, it's to protect that child and to stop the gang member from becoming a murderer. That's your number one responsibility. And in the process, if you could share the gospel, awesome. But before God, your number one responsibility is to protect the innocent and to try to bring the guilty to justice. Because then it's in that context of a civilized nation where we can preach the gospel louder and further than we could otherwise. Well, Paige Patterson was fired properly as yet someone else to come to justice by the Me Too movement. Because what did he do? He was trying to get this girl to forgive her rapist. Forgive your rapist. How's that? Forgive your rapist? He's trying to get her to forgive the rapist. Don't report this to the police. Obviously, he's concerned about the reputation of this Baptist seminary, but it's not worth that. That's too high a price to pay, a girl being raped and the crime being swept under the rug, for your Baptist seminary or the entire Southern Baptist organization to protect its reputation. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered Uriah the Hittite to cover up for the adultery, God didn't sweep it under the rug. God exposed it to the nation, and then he put it in the Bible. How's that? That's the opposite of what Paige Patterson did. And so thank God. I thank God for the sake of women being treated properly and for the renewed opportunity for Christians to assert biblical morality and Bible teaching, basic Bible teaching. Thank God for the Me Too movement, even with all its hypocrisy and inconsistency that needs to be addressed. Hey, kgov.com/Italy in October if you want to go with us. May God bless you guys.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.